there are absolutely positively so many things to love about the ACC schedule. And I never thought I would say that, but I'm going to tell you, Drake's going to tell you, Dave's going to tell you, Holly's going to tell you, Stacy's going to tell you why getting rid of divisions and going to a 3-5-5 model is easily the smartest thing the ACC has done since admitting Florida State into the conference. All that next.
You are Locked On Seminoles, your daily podcast on the Florida State Seminoles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, folks, like we said at the top of the show, we are pumped to have you here because a weird thing happened today where they just told us what the schedule was going to be for the next 5, 6 years, 4 years, I guess the next 4 years. So there are no more divisions. That means you get three annual opponents within the entire conference. There's no Atlantic.
Primary.
There's no Coastal. Exactly. So instead of, okay, you got, what was it? What was it before? It was, you had your division. It was seven teams in each division.
Yep.
You played your entire division. You played your entire division and you had one permanent crossover and one rotational crossover to the other division. So think about what that means. Every year you play one non-Miami Coastal team. There's six of those. So
and they're terrible.
It takes 6 years. It took 6 years at a time to play through the entirety of the other division. Like you're barely even a conference at that point. So that is going to be fixed. And our three permanent opponents, if you will, are going to be Miami, Clemson, and Syracuse. Okay. I want to set the table before we got, like, we were kind of starting in the middle of the conversation there, and I didn't want us to get too down the road. So what do we think about the permanent opponents first? Of all the options, it could have theoretically been any of the 13 other ACC teams, you had to pick three. Do you like these three? Is there any changes you would have made? What do y'all think?
I think the only thing that I probably maybe would have changed would probably have Georgia Tech in place of Syracuse, primarily because you have a large Florida State fan base in the Atlanta, Georgia area. But I think I'm of the opinion that Georgia Tech is probably one of those teams that where if you get a decent enough head coach, that actually could be kind of more of a difficult opponent. And I'm 100% sure that these three primary opponents are going to be what's going to be used for probably for the next 10 years. I know it says only three, but AC, I could definitely see them kind of keeping the majority of them. And with Syracuse, I don't think Syracuse is ever going to be good at football ever again. So I am absolutely happy to actually have sort of a cupcake kind of win on next year on the schedule.
Yeah, it's funny. We have, Drake, you and I did this episode like, yeah, 2 months ago. We talked about what we wanted to see. We assumed it'd be Clemson and Miami because the ACC may be incompetent, but they're not stupid when it comes to, we're going to steal as much money we can out of the Florida State brand as possible. So they give us Miami and they give us Clemson because those are going to be the two highest rated TV games. Good for the ACC. But we needed that third crap game because we still play Florida every year. And that's three arguably tough games already. We don't schedule cupcakes. If you look at our schedule for the next 10 years, we play like Bama and Georgia to start every year for the next decade.
Notre Dame too is in there sometimes. It's
right. Well, that's the other thing, right? In 23, you got to play LSU in Orlando. In 24, you've got to play Alabama, I think at home. And then 25, you play Alabama on the road. Or I have that backwards. Either way, and then you play Georgia in 26. So it's like, yeah. And Drake, I love that you made that point, man, because I think there is a certain degree of forward lookingness to this schedule where the ACC said, okay, we're going to give you a cupcake, but it's got to always be a cupcake. And Georgia Tech, right. I mean, there was a time, I'm not talking about 2015, but people forget in the aughts, like they weren't a bad team. And even as recently as 2013, they were contending for conference, or 2014. They played us in the conference championship, kind of unfortunately, pretty close. And, you know, they almost stopped us from going to the playoff at all. So it's not a crazy scenario that they get good again. And then it's like,
right,
we got hammered. Additionally, I think that Syracuse and Georgia Tech are equally valuable home games. They're interchangeable in my opinion. Yep. And you don't really get anything from away games. Like you're going to typically, you'll probably sell your allotment. And if you don't, you'll probably sell it back to that school. It's good as a fan. Like I live in Atlanta. I would love us to come to Atlanta every other year, but it's not like they're screwing us out of money by making this decision. They're just not doing what would have been the absolute most favorable for our fan base. And finally, I want to address your point, Dave, because you give the ACC way too much credit. I had this sneaking suspicion. I'm serious. This was my thought. I was like, I would not be shocked if some moron in the ACC headquarters was like, here's what we're going to do. Highest three marketed teams, Clemson, Miami, and Florida State. So they shouldn't play each other guaranteed because we want to spread those views around. And somehow, you know what I mean? Talk themselves into being like, oh yeah, if you give three other teams the chance to play Florida State every year, that'll make the conference more money. It's like, no one's going to watch Florida State just kick Syracuse's teeth in at noon on the ACC network with commercials for flip out knives and weird sunglasses. But that kind of got me to another point. Here's the only thing about this format I really don't like as I look at these sheets, as I analyze it more. I don't understand why they would give us a cupcake in this. And here's why. Because you get three guaranteed opponents, right? Mm-hmm. But you have five rotational opponents within the conference that you also play. Like you don't only play these three and no one else. So I think I would have rather had it be the most likely to be good three opponents over the next 4 years. And right now it's probably Miami, Clemson, and Pitt, NC State. Yeah, NC State would have been a good one. Geographically, I would have taken Pitt. And then you can, if you feel like the schedule is going to get really hard 1 year, you can, just add in some of the cupcakes to that five, right? Just say, hey, your three are really good right now. So just ease up, because it's not like they don't get to choose all of these things anyway. They didn't put it into a dice roll system.
You trust the ACC to make those five games easier for us?
They already did it, is what I'm saying. So they made 4 years of this, and they said they're only going to give us the three guaranteed for those 4 years. So like, it's not like this, we just saw our three and it's going to be random. We already know who all eight opponents are every year.
You want to know who the just, five? I'll predict Nostradamus right here. I'll tell you who the five will be next year. It'll be, or the first year of this, it'll be NC State. It'll
buddy, we already know who the five, we already know who the five are.
Oh, fuck.
That's what I'm saying. No, but that's a good point because it's okay. You were working today. But that's what I'm saying is like, they made the schedule. So they could have just said, okay, let's give them the three best teams for the next 4 years so they get the ratings and all that. And then we'll give them an easier slate with the five variable ones. And then we can recalibrate, as we go forward. I guess it's six, one half dozen the other, but I don't need to play Syracuse every year because to the point we just made, we could interchange every other year. Give us a Syracuse or a Duke and just make them rotate within our other five and guarantee us NC State every year. You know what I'm saying?
Our team is kind of bad, so I'm not kind of mad about having Syracuse right now. Actually, yeah, in there. And I'd rather not play NC State right now, especially with the way they're working.
Guarantee an easy win. We need a W on the schedule every year for the next every year.
Yeah, but again, you'd put them there anyway. It would just be the same.
It has to be guaranteed. The W, I think, needs to be guaranteed and built into our schedule. If we want to get back to like a playoff contending team, we got to build in as many W's as we can.
I don't know. We can talk about this more in a second because I do think there. I want to touch on that for a second. Like, do we need built-in W's or do we need to beat? Like, can we accelerate our path to relevance if we're beating better teams, quote unquote, that are considered better on the national stage and racking up some marquee wins versus just like Jiffy stomping Syracuse's head in? I don't know. But first, folks, RockAuto.com. Y'all already know what it is. It's rockauto.com. If you need your car fixed, you could take it to a mechanic. That's fine. Take it to the shop. That's fine. You take it to the dealership. That's fine. Those are all expensive and those all leave you without your cars. So what do? Well, you got some time this weekend. You got some tools. Go ahead and fix it yourself. Folks, you can learn literally anything on YouTube nowadays. It's true. In fact, I learned that the world is run by a bunch of lizard people and that it's also flat and we've been lied to. Like, you can literally learn anything you want on YouTube, including how to fix cars. So if you want to save yourself some money, learn how to fix your car yourself. But wait, you're going to need some parts. Where are you going to get parts from? You're going to go down to the local store that has a limited inventory. Come on, you might waste your time. You might have to go three places. Just go the place you know that's going to have the part you need. They're going to give you a great price, and they're going to get it to you inexpensively. That's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is the number one site for ordering your car parts. A Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store and $216 from Rock Auto. So if you drive a Honda Odyssey, and that's oddly specific, need a fuel pump, well, you know where you're going to save money. And I'm sure those savings trickle their way all the way down for every single part you could imagine. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So I want to talk about the concept of, is it better to have guaranteed wins right now, or is it better to play the best opponents and get back to potentially national relevance more quickly?
Florida State at this point hasn't made a bowl game in too long. I don't think it should be on the forefront of everyone's mind of let's play harder teams. I think we should get back to winning first and then worry about how easy we make it look against the more difficult teams later.
Yeah, I think one of the big things was we were complaining about this team was not playing hard enough. And now we can't be going from, we just got to the point now where actually we're like proud of our players actually be putting a full effort on the field. So we can't really, like, this team is in no way, shape, or form. We won 8 games in 2 seasons. So, and we barely beat Syracuse last year, a team that we've all said on here is terrible. They're terrible, but we need a last-second field goal to beat them. So as of right now, we kind of need to build the foundation back up, actually, overall, like, moving forward. Like, it's, I would love to be back, you know, when we were back in college, when we were basically beating up on everybody by, like, 30 points. But we don't have the facilities for that, my big man. We don't.
You know, I feel that, but think about time-wise, right? Like, 2026 is to 2013 what 2008 was to 2013. So, like, we can't just look at it in a vacuum of what's going to happen in 2023. Like, I'm operating under the assumption of we will get better. And right now, we're solidified in these schedules for 4 years. Now, again, y'all make excellent points. We've got good SEC teams on the schedule. Our schedule's fine with the U. Oh, it feels icky saying that, with Miami and Clemson being our guaranteed opponents. So we're fine. I guess then the hypothetical of like, what would you rather do is irrelevant. But I do want to, like, back to the question of, would you be mad if Miami and Clemson, if they weren't your guaranteed opponents? The answer would probably also be yes. Like, if our guarantees were Duke, Syracuse, and who else sucks right now? Virginia? I don't know.
Do you want to go to any of those games? If they were home games, would you make the trip?
No, of course. That's what I'm saying. So yeah. It'd be like, well, I guess. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. All right, fine.
But what I think we should talk about next is what this means for the rest of the conference, not named Florida State, including and especially Miami.
Yeah, no, I'm down. I also, let's take a quick break. I got to tell the folks about Bet Online. And then last thing I want to talk about, we haven't touched on, what does this mean for the Alliance potentially?
There is no Alliance. You know, this thing is useless since it's an inception. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? They had a cool Zoom background that had all three logos on it. That was
pretty awesome. I will say the Zoom background was pretty dope. And nice. The name is pretty sick. Whenever you have Alliance, like that's dope. But the entire concept was foolish. You know that.
Like, I just wish they called them the Allies. And then it's like, we're not saying the SEC is the axis of evil. We're just not. We're not implying it. Mm. Don't give me that look. They could be Italy. All right. That's, we're not saying they're, you know.
Benito Mussolini.
Anyway. Folks, if you got to get some action down, if you're itching for some sports betting right now, there's all kinds of stuff you can do. You've got baseball, you've got tennis, you've got hockey. Hockey's over. You got golf. I mean, there's probably hockey going on somewhere in the world. And if there is, Bet Online certainly has the odds for it. They've got the lines for it. And they even, on their outlet, betonline.net, probably have some info on it. So if you want to bet European foot hockey, or you want to bet all day cricket matches in Australia, Bet Online is the place to do it. And if you want to just bet normal things like win total futures, you could do that there too. So head to Bet Online, where the game starts. Folks, I don't know if we've said it today, but if we haven't and you're rocking and rolling with us, we appreciate you. We love you. And we care about you. And one thing we also care about is growing that following, because we love you to get notified of the episodes every time we drop one. We're at 3 days a week right now because it's the off season, but we'll be back every single day when the season starts. So folks, subscribe to that YouTube. We are so close to 1,200. I can taste it. And after that, it's 1,500. And after that, it's the world. So be part of the movement. Davey boy, let's talk about what this means for the rest of the conference, not named Florida State. What's your initial takeaway on it? You probably, I imagine you saw something that made you start thinking about it from that angle. So what do you, what's on your mind?
Yes. The very first thing I thought, even before I looked, saw like what it meant for Florida State, before I thought that through, divisionless football gone to me means Miami's never winning the ECC. They had the easiest road in the Coastal to win that conference since they joined the ACC, and not once have they been able to do it. Now they're lumped together with the rest of the conference. They don't have that same easy road going through the traditional cupcakes of the conference every year. And I don't know, like their three is just kind of, it's FSU, Louisville, and Boston College. Like Louisville tends to have those years where they're really friggin' good. They have a quarterback like Malik Cunningham or Lamar Jackson, and they just blow you out. And
Bridgewater.
Right. Teddy Bridgewater. Exactly. They just keep coming. And I assume there'll be another and another after that, thus perpetuating Miami losing more games and not winning the ACC. I really do think it's going to be harder for them now.
I about to say the one thing we were always jealous about is that Miami got to beat up on a bad Virginia, a bad Duke, most seasons a bad Pittsburgh. Yep. Also, like it's kind of nice to see now how, wow, they kind of are like the rest of us. It's now basically the ACC, I think, across the board is now also on equal footing. And also this kind of leads overall, like which teams did get hosed, because I think Max and I had the same one, like Duke got screwed. I feel bad for Duke.
Yeah, overall, like, well, for the immediate. Did they get screwed, or did they just have their place made abundantly clear to them in the pecking order?
Okay, punching
bag?
I mean, you're right. But that's, I mean, you look at this schedule and we look at Georgia Tech has to play Clemson, Louisville, Wake Forest. Not that bad, but not ideal.
Yeah, that's not great.
And then you look and it's like, oh, so for reference, before people jump at me, each of those schools have either had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback or a quarterback within the top five in the nation in passing yards within the past 6 years. So pretty tough company, because within the next 6 years, those kids are still in eighth grade. So it's like, look at the quality they can recruit and how quickly those teams can flip. It wasn't that long ago. It was what, 8 years ago now, when Louisville and Clemson were like number two and number four playing, yep, you know, on a Thursday night, yep, showdown. And that was going to decide the Heisman Trophy race. So that's a pretty tough pod to get if you're Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Yeah. I will say for Duke though, their first conference games next year are at home: Clemson, NC State, Pitt, Wake Forest, and then away it's Florida State, Louisville, North Carolina, and Virginia.
Oh, God. Yes. They might go 0-12.
So Syracuse's pod is Boston College, Florida State, and Pitt. That one, you know, it's interesting because it depends on how you look at it. And I think Wake Forest, it's the same way. I'll get to them in a moment. But Syracuse's pod is kind of like, right now it tells you that you're the punching bag. But like, there's a world not that many iterations from now where, you know, that pod, Boston College, Florida State, and Pitt could be seen as, hey, you got one hard game, a chance to prove yourself, and you have two, like, moderately decent opponents.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Keaton Slovis isn't going to be there, I think, for more than 2 years, so it's going to be basically halfway through this schedule right now. He's going to be gone, and then Bill Dracovic is gone after this year, and we have no idea who the quarterback is going to be coming in, so you're kind of right about that. Like, and that'll be, like, whoever is the next coach after Baber is going to be able to basically do that, because they did bring in the Carlos Del Rio kid. So they might actually kind of made out a little bit more better actually in the long run.
And the most interesting one to me is what we talked about earlier in the show. It's clear evidence that whoever made this, the commissioner, the committee, I don't know who put this thing actually together, is they're doing some forecasting. It's not all about next year, because look at Wake Forest's pod: Duke, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Right now, that sounds like a cakewalk. You're like, oh, Wake Forest. But 4 years ago, if you heard Wake Forest had to play those three teams, you're like, that's probably a 2-1, 1-2. You
know, or Wake depending on the year.
Right, for those other three teams. So they're doing some forecasting with that one. But I will say, of the teams that are currently good in the ACC, and I'm saying good, like have a chance to finish top four in the conference, top 25 nationally, I think Wake got the easiest immediate schedule with Duke, Georgia Tech, and Virginia Tech, based on where Wake is skill-wise right now.
Yeah, because I think Georgia Tech is going to have to go through a rebuild probably after Jeff Collins gets fired, because he's going to get fired. Yeah, and then also, I mean, you got Duke with Mike Elko, new head coach, and then Virginia Tech might be good, but that might take also a few years because Justin Fuente basically burned that place to the ground.
Yeah, and well, and just for the record, the last one that we weirdly haven't talked about is Clemson, who plays us, obviously, NC State and Georgia Tech. NC State and Miami, to me, are kind of fungible in terms of where I think they'll be in the ACC pecking order for the next five-ish years. So their three isn't any easier than ours, really, because Tech, like we said, could be better than Syracuse, if not next year, in a couple of years. So I think Georgia Tech's Clemson's might actually be as hard, if not harder, than ours.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, too.
If NC State stays good, yeah. If NC State stays good, No, I'll take that back, Dave. I'm going to just agree with you. Yes, I agree, because I think NC State and Miami over the past 20 years since, or whatever it's been, 15 years since Miami joined the conference, have been about equal.
Yeah.
So I'd say, yeah, you're just changing Syracuse and Georgia Tech. You're changing the U and NC State. And it's like, man, it's probably similar and you would have to lean Georgia Tech. You'd have to lean Clemson's is harder because Georgia Tech over the past 10 or 15 years has been better than Syracuse in the aggregate. The most interesting one, or second most interesting one, I said Wake's was interesting because of the forecasting thing. I feel like Virginia Tech got entered into a suicide pact by the ACC. It's Virginia Tech, Pitt, Virginia, and Wake. It's like all these teams, like, you guys are all going to have to rely on, all of you have to agree right now to lower your academic standards and not suck, or you're all going to fall.
So like, this is basically the nerd pod is what you're saying.
It is, right. But it's the nerd pod to keep them honest. But guys, come on. Not every, you know, if the average kid admitted has a 4-1, that's an average. So you let in a couple football players with 2.7s, you know?
I just can't wait till they make a trophy. Let in a few the winner of the spectrum. Pod wins what's called the Brain Bowl, or the Brain Bowl trophies. It'd be great to see that.
Yeah. But last question for y'all, because I know we've run a bit long on this one, but I think it was a topic worth fleshing out. Do y'all feel like this is more, this concept is what I mean, the 3-5-5, it's all over the place. I don't know exactly what the numbers stand for. I should, but I don't know. And they don't even explain it on the poster. They're like, 3-5-5, one division. Each team will play three primary opponents annually. It's like, okay. And the other 10 league teams, 2X during the 4-year cycle. It's like,
once home, once away.
Right. But okay. But why call it 3-5-5? Why not 3-10 or I don't, anyway, whatever. All right. The point is, do y'all feel like this is more of an equalizer within the conference and will bring more parity to the league as far as, ability to reach championships, ability to reach the highest levels? Or do you think that this is a divider in the fact that now it's just going to allow the best two teams? It's going to do what we've seen a bit in the Big 12. Like, how do y'all think this is going to go from the perspective of the middle of the pack teams?
I think it's going to be a lot more evident that similar to basketball, how basically you have the top 8 teams from each conference kind of go to the playoffs. You're going to see the same, like, I guess, top 3, top 4 teams are going to be probably at the top, because there's going to be a lot of basically, you know, I guess devouring yourself or eating yourself overall, because like these are a lot, like we said earlier, this is a lot of teams in the middle where they're not really, there's no really, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's like a 5A, 5B, 5C. They're all very negligible and interchangeable. So I think it won't change much, but I think overall you'll have a much more deserving champion, because up until now, winning at the Coastal was just another date, you know, to get stomped by Clemson overall.
And right.
The Coastal was not good for a while.
That's my point is I have two takeaways. One is that they made things easier for the Atlantic, the teams in the Atlantic. And typically the playoff team coming from always the playoff team, if any, coming from the ACC is a team from the Atlantic. So I think they probably thought if there's ever going to be a chance that we're going to get two teams in the playoffs, we need it to be easier for the teams of ours that have gone to the playoff. That's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two is I think the ACC just realized we got to do something to get ourselves in the news. That's not like negative and that's like noteworthy to make ourselves relevant for a little bit. Because what if the ACC doesn't do something to stay competitive with the SEC, something serious, it's just going to become a mega conference situation. And we're going to get stuck with the AAC teams. It's going to be us and the AAC teams.
And the new commissioner wants more focus on football. And this is a great way to start.
Does this make non-rivalry rivalries matter less that one loss will be very unlikely to keep you out of the conference championship game? For example, what I mean is the Bowden Bowl stuff existed, all that, but Clemson became a rival because we knew we had to beat Clemson. Otherwise, a three-loss Coastal team was probably going to go to the ACC championship, keeping us out of the playoff. Now that you know the rematch is coming, the Clemson rivalry is already cemented. I get that. But does that prevent the formation with rivalries of teams like an NC State, where there's a scenario in the future where maybe they become the bottleneck and it's like, hey, one of us is going to be undefeated, one will have one loss, thus not going to the conference championship game? Like, do you think it diminishes those kind of natural rivalries that evolve within divisions?
No, I mean, the way you said it, it should make them more exciting. Like, if there's more than one traditional bottleneck, then that creates a natural rivalry. And I mean, if we become the bottleneck for somebody else, that's not the worst case scenario either right now.
The bottleneck goes away is my point. Cause they're like in 2011, 12 or not 11, cause we kind of sucked when EJ got hurt, but in like 12, 13, 14, 15, those Clemson games matter less because we probably just get a rematch with them in the conference championship and kind of sucks to lose. Mm-hmm. Like, does 2013's win really matter that much? I mean, we probably would have beat them again.
Like it mattered.
No, but I'm saying if Clemson gets another shot at us in November, because you're going to spend the whole season just like, yeah, but it wouldn't be that. It felt the same way in 12, 13, and 14. When we beat Clemson, the minute that game was over, it was like a freaking weighted vest came off of you. Because, like, that was it. But now you got to play them again. So do they, like, is there that rivalry there of like, let me put it this way. You're going to prove who the better team is because you're going to play again versus that whole, like, you know, Clemson will forever be like, oh, in 2014, we were actually better. And we'll be like, in 2016, that chop block is why we lost to you. There was never a time to settle those disagreements. So they brewed for 365 days. Whereas now the two best teams will get to play. If they play in the regular season, they'll get to go at it again.
The only thought I have spawning from that is that it should no longer kill us having one conference loss. Like if we were to go 11-1 in conference, true, that should no longer kill us, which gives us a little more breathing room, which is nothing but a good thing.
And if we lose an earlier game, it kind of gives us like another shot to kind of like finally put it to bed when it really matters. Because like, I think the game will matter. The earlier game will matter less, but I just think mainly the game later on will matter more. And because it will finally solidify actually who's the better of the two.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of positives to it. I was just asking about that very narrow scope.
I don't know. Have
that effect because I agree. I think it's great.
I don't think we would know until actually like a few years of this thing and like actually see like if it changed or like if we look back like, hey, you know what? We were right with that. Or hey, you know, we're wrong with that. So I think that's something like we'll have to wait 10 years for that to see.
So 2012, and then we can get out of here. 2012, we were number 10. Clemson was number 11. UNC was unranked, 8-4, 5-3 in conference. We were 12-2. Clemson was 11-2. We had to go stomp North Carolina in the conference championship to go play Jordan Lynch and the Midwest who gives a shits down in Miami. So that would have been different. 2013, same thing. We're 14-0. Clemson's 11-2. I imagine that's including a bowl game, though. We played Duke in the conference championship. Number 8, Clemson, didn't get a second crack at us.
Net positive. Takeaway, put a little bow on it. This is a good thing and nothing but a good thing.
The Coastal Division is dead. That's the only thing I care about.
It already was. Miami was in it.
Folks, we appreciate y'all coming here. We absolutely love doing this. We love spending our evenings hanging out with our buds talking about football, and we hope that y'all enjoy us doing that. And the 1,192 of you that have subscribed have showed us you love that. So please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications by clicking the bell. Like the individual video, comment, tell us anything you want. You know, it's just the internet. We'll keep your secrets, I guess. And yeah, just keep on coming back 3 days a week during the off season, 5 days a week during the season. I'm Max. That was Drake. That was Dave. And this was Locked On Seminoles.